Welcome back to Vibe Online. Thank you so much for joining us to get through the announcements this week. Wednesday, life groups. If you're in a life group, you'll know what the story is. If you're not in a life group, get connected into a life group. Life groups are amazing. We lead up the Young Adults life group here in Victory House. Not here in Victory House, but in Victory House. And it's great. So if you're a young adult, please get in touch so we can get you into the Young Adult life group. And then we have other life groups around the place. We've got one in the main building here. We've got ones in Monaghan, all over the place. Get connected. It's a great way just to build fellowship with you. People around similar age, similar stage in life as you, and it's a great way to fellowship and meet people and to go deeper into the things of God, obviously, too. Friday we have kids club at 6:30. We have youth at 8 o'clock, so if you're a kid or if you have kids, send them on down to kids club. It's fantastic. If you're a youth or you have youth, send them on down to Vibe, because we're going to have the kids club there, our youth club there, and just it's a nice place to hang out, chill, relax, some food, all that good stuff. Saturday, Young Adults. You know, story. Young Adults is unreal. I love Young Adults. It's going to be great. So 8 p.m. down the building. We'll kick off at 8:30. So if you'd like to come down or you've never been before, we really encourage you to make effort to come down, because it's great. It's just, it's a really great time. To have people in their 20s get together and just a safe place to worship God, hear a bit of the word, and have great fellowship as well. So that's always amazing. This Sunday is a fun one, because this is kids takeover. The kids are taking over the first service. That's a 10 a.m. service. So get ready for that one. That's going to be pretty cool. The kids are going to be running the whole thing from start to finish. So we've got kids takeover on Sunday at 10 a.m. Then we've got our 12 p.m. service, just as normal, all that good stuff. So if you're about, please do pop in, say hello, and we'd love to get connected with you. We're going to go into the giving slides, guys. If you can give, that'll be amazing. You see everything that we're doing here in Armagh and through Vibe. And this is where the money goes, is giving back into the kingdom and for kingdom works. So we really appreciate that. And we're going to go into some worship as well. So thanks so much. Have a great Sunday. God bless. If you want to get connected, please do get in touch. Thank you.
So don't let sight. In the blink of an eye, death and all our sin, nowhere in sight. For the Lord, He is alive. See the lost return from the dead of the night. Every captive free, every chain left behind. Have you ever seen such a beautiful sight? All the world coming alive. See the world light up one heart at a time. See the strong bones break in the blink of an eye. Death and all our sin, nowhere in sight. For the Lord, He is alive. See the lost return from the dead of the night. Every captive free, every chain left behind. Have you ever seen such a beautiful sight? All the world coming alive, singing, oh, 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 oh. Come on, church, let's not be silent today. Let's sing. So don't let it pass you by. Lift your hands to the heavens. Lift your voice to the sky. Praise the Lord of all creation. Let His name be lifted I'm not afraid to die.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Going to get straight into the word today, and a word that has been burning on my heart has been one about there being treasure inside of us. Maybe it's to do with there being a little treasure inside of me right now. I'm not too sure. I'm due our fourth baby in August this year, and we find out that it's a little boy. So we are so excited, and we have three girls at home. My name is Nikki. I'm one of the pastors here at Vibe Church. If you don't usually see me here, usually it's Daryl that is sharing the word on a Sunday, but I'm bringing the word today, and today the title is The Treasure Within. I want to remind you today that if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you have accepted Him into your life, if you know Him, not just know about Him, but you know Him, that there is a treasure that is now living inside of you, and that is the treasure of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the gospel. It's salvation. You know, you're carrying treasure inside of you now every single day. I'm sure you've noticed since you gave your life to the Lord that things are different than they first were, that things are different now than they were before you had Jesus in your life, and thus the transformation power that happens in our lives. And God has decided to put His home inside of you. In the olden days, in the Old Testament, then the presence of God would reside in the temple. There was a time whenever it resided in a place called the Ark of the Covenant, which was like a box that the Israelites had to carry around. But then later on, when Jesus came and he lived on this earth, and then He died on a cross and He went to heaven again, He left so that the Holy Spirit could come and make His home inside of you and inside of me. And so that is where He lives, and that's where He resides right now. And yes, He's all around us. He's everywhere. But thank the Lord that He chose to make His home inside of us. And I want to remind you today that you are treasured, that you are valued, that God saw you as worthy to be able to carry His presence every single day. Sometimes we don't feel like that, do we? But it's the truth. And so you are full of treasure today. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." So Paul was writing here to the church in Corinth, where he was telling them that, you know, we are weak, our bodies are failing, our bodies don't always do the things that we want them to do. You know, sometimes we want to be able to run that little bit longer, or sometimes you want to wake up in the morning without aches and pains. That kind of happens after you hit 30. but do you know what? Even though that your body might be failing, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, that we have treasure inside of us, and that God chose to put His home inside of us. Paul's telling the church in Corinth that it's actually okay to be weak, that there's a plan in it all, that it's okay that we don't look amazing on the outside, because actually that the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of us, and God wants to show other people that it's His power through us and not our own power that is able to do all the miraculous things that He wants to do in the lives of the people around us. Why does Paul use this example? It's a bit of a strange example, isn't it? He says that we have treasure in jars of clay. And at the time, in the homes, in the place where they lived, way back 2,000 odd years ago, then what people would have done was they would have put expensive jewelry or things like money or whatever it was that was expensive to them. They would have hid it in not a fancy jar, not under lock and key, but actually in a really plain looking jar, in a plain looking vase. And that was a vase that was easily breakable, but it was one that maybe some robber or thief that maybe would have come in to try and steal something from the house wouldn't have even thought to check in. It's a pretty good plan. I know somebody who hides money in their cushions in their house instead of trying to find a safe for it. And it's a good idea. You know, it just depends. It depends how your mind works as a thief, I suppose. But Paul was making the point that the treasure is hidden in jars of clay. Why is it hidden in jars of clay? So that God can show his glory through our lives. And rather than people having a look and saying, wow, isn't she amazing? Isn't he amazing? Look at everything that they have achieved, which there's nothing wrong with, but we would much rather have God, that God gets the glory for everything that happens. You know, here at Vibe a few years ago, well, we've just celebrated our 7-year anniversary as a church. And at the start, we had to buy this building the building that we meet in for church, and we needed 45,000, and we only had something like 8 weeks to be able to get all the money. And I remember we didn't have two pennies to rub together. We thought, how are we going to do this thing? And we put out the word to as many people as we could, and we said, right, we are going to buy a building. We felt God on it. We knew it was the right thing to do. And so we put out the word. And the amount of people that got back in touch with us were, well, it was all the young people that came to the young adults at the time, and they were saying, look, yeah, we want to support this, but one person had £20 that he could give on a Saturday after he had worked for the day. Another person maybe had some savings in their bank, but it didn't amount to very much. Other people just said, you know, I'm going to save as much as I can in the next couple of weeks. Or other people would say, well, I've got a couple of £100 in my bank account. I would like to give that towards the project. We ended up miraculously getting the £45,000 in cash over the next 8 weeks and able to meet the deadline, buy the building. And then came the hard work of doing the building up and the money as well that was involved in that. And do you know that to this day, we own not only that building, but the one next door to it, which we bought for $175,000. And we were able to do up the building that we currently meet in. And we are not a penny in debt, praise the Lord. But what happened through that whole story was that God moved in the hearts of a lot of people who, you know, maybe they weren't the most talented, maybe they weren't all preachers, maybe they weren't all singers, maybe they weren't all, CEOs of businesses. These were everyday, ordinary young people who caught the vision and said, I want to give towards that. And so what that did in the hearts of people around us who were onlookers was that they said, we can clearly see God is in this. We can clearly see that God has made a way for this to happen. And the word started to spread and started to spread, and people started to come to the building to see what is it that is going on in this place. And you know, we host the glory of the Lord. We bring the Lord's, you know, the Lord just shows up in power and in authority every single Sunday, and we just love to get together to worship him, to love him, to learn more about him, to get into his word. And then we also love to just bless our community to the max, and it's an exciting adventure, and it's fun, and we love every single minute of it. But you know, it's this that we're talking about today, about treasure being in jars of clay, really resounds with me. I really know what it's all about, because I look at everything that God has done through us and through our team and through the people who have just been willing and said yes to his call. I look at everything that God has done in the last 7 years or more. Before that, it was a young adults for a few years. And I just say, wow, God, you chose to put your treasure inside of normal people to be able to display your glory. Because what it did was it made sure that people didn't look at us and say, wow, aren't they amazing? But they looked at us and they said, wow, isn't God amazing? Because if he can do that through a bunch of young people, then what could he do through me? What could he do through our church? What could he do through my business? And so that's how the kingdom of God works. And it's good news and it spreads thick and fast. And so we are seeing transformation happen in Armagh, and God is so, so good. Just this week, a story popped up on my newsfeed of a Chinese pot that had been sitting on the shelf of a doctor for a long time in his kitchen. And he decided to give this pot, hand it down to his son. And his son decided that this pot really wasn't worth very much to him, and he would actually go and see how much it would get at auction. So he put it into auction and he was told this pot will probably reach about £1,500 to £2,000. And he was blown away at that. He thought, wow, my dad's owned this since the 1980s. It's now 2022. And so he thought, well, great, that's good. That's money in my pocket. £1,500 to £2,000, perfect. So the pot goes to auction and it gets a whopping £1.5 million. And it turns out that this pot was a very rare Chinese pot that was created for an emperor way, way, way back hundreds of years ago. And that this pot had been able to be kept intact without a scratch on it or a mark on it. And it was one of the rarest pieces of history to be able to find in perfect condition. And so it got £1.5 million at auction. And so now it is sitting somewhere in a museum. It is under lock and key, and it's there for everybody to go and admire. You know, I want to just say to you today that you might only just be realizing, just like this pot, that you are worth something greater than what you thought that you were beforehand. Maybe the Lord is only just starting to kind of open your eyes to that there, and you realize that he has made you a new creation, and that he has put his name on your life, and that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I just want to remind you today that your purpose isn't to sit on a shelf and do nothing. Your purpose isn't to be under lock and key and nobody get anywhere near you or even lay a finger on you. The purpose for your life is to do God's will and to be poured out for him. It's to be able to display the treasure that you hold inside. It's so that other people will look, will marvel, will get to experience the Holy Spirit that is living inside of you. But that is in your control, how much that you allow him to work his works in and through your life. You were created with purpose. Our purpose is to carry the Holy Spirit, to pour him out into the lives of people around us. It's in our relationships with others. It's in the way that we treat other people. It's in the risks that we take for God. It's in how we handle our finances. It's in how we dream big dreams for him. It's in how we die to self and we put God first in our lives. It's in how we treat our kids. It's in how we treat our neighbors. It's how the Holy Spirit is able to work through our words, through our actions, through our hands, through our feet. It's in the missions trips that you'll go on maybe this year, or it's in how you faithfully serve those people around you in your day-to-day life. But the Holy Spirit wants to be poured out into the lives of the world around you. And so it's important to listen to his voice, to tune in and to say, Lord, what are you saying? Where are you calling me to? What do you want me to do? And then to have the openness and willingness for him to use you and to face your fears at times and be able to give him your whole life every single day. Does it sound like a tall order? Yes, sometimes it does. But I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit isn't just something, he's someone. He's our confidant. He is our comforter. He's the fire that we need. He's the power that we need. He's our provider. So not only do we get to pour him out into the lives of people around us, but also he gives us the power and the strength to be able to do that as well. And he does not leave us empty, and he does not leave us dry. You see, we also have Jesus in the Bible, in the Word, we have Jesus to be able to look at and to be able to take an example from and to be able to see how we're supposed to be doing this life. Do you know everything that Jesus did that we are able to do? Everything that he achieved, we are able to achieve through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the way that Jesus has made for our lives. See, Jesus, he was fully God, and yet he was fully man, but he was confined to a human body. All authority was given to him by the Father, by God, when he said yes to doing God's will, and he came down to this earth as a tiny, powerless baby. He came down, but all authority was given to him to defeat the works of the enemy here on this earth. You know, authority is given to us through our yes to the call of God in our lives. It's like we say yes to the call of God in our lives, and then we're sent out on mission, and we have his authority to do whatever he wants us to do. But our power comes whenever we encounter the Holy Spirit. The power comes when we have encounters with the Lord. And I want to ask you today, has it been a head decision, or has it been a heart encounter with the Lord? Do you know him? Has he given you power? Have you had an encounter with him where you have felt and know his love and his restoration in your life? Today, no matter whether the answer is yes or no to that question, he wants you to have a fresh encounter with him today. He wants you to know and feel his presence, even tangibly right now, where you sit, where you stand, wherever you're watching this from. But he wants to meet with each one of us afresh today. Just before Jesus got working in his ministry and going and doing miracles all around where he lived, then first of all, before he could do any of those things, he was baptized. And John the Baptist baptized him, and he recognized that Jesus was there and that he was greater even than John the Baptist was. And he said that he would baptize him. And so a voice came from heaven at the time, and the sky opened, the heavens opened. It says that they tore open, it says in Mark 1. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved son, and with you I am well pleased." And this was the encounter that Jesus had with God the Father. And then God the Holy Spirit descended, it says, like a dove and remained on him. Descended like a dove and remained on Jesus. And so Jesus had an encounter with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and the three in one came together tangibly at that moment. And we read about that beautiful moment. And God the Father says from heaven, "You are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased." And I want to tell you today that he speaks the same thing over you. If you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ today, God the Father says the exact same thing over you. He says, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Do you need to hear that today? I need to hear that every day. I need to hear that every day. You know, he loves us so much with an everlasting, unfailing love. And his action towards us is always love. And today I want to encourage you to turn your action back towards God as love. "Lord, I receive your love and I give you back my heart in return. I give you back my love in return." We need an encounter with the Lord if we are to move in power and authority just like Jesus did. In Mark chapter 25, and you can go there if you want, or the words will be up on the screen as well. I encourage you always to write it down, any of these scriptures or anything. If you want to write it down and go back to it, even just quote the chapter and the verse and the book that it's in, and then go back and read it in your own time as well if you want to. But in Mark chapter 5 verse 25, it gives us a great example of how Jesus, being confined to a human body, a jar of clay as Paul would call it, just like us, poured the treasure that he carried, the Holy Spirit, on the world all around him. It says in Mark 25, "Now a woman suffered from bleeding for 12 years. Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be made well." Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he was looking around to see who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has saved you. Now go in peace and be healed from your affliction." You know, what a powerful message, and you can read the whole chapter there, or from a few verses before, just that segment where it talks about not only Jesus healing this woman, but actually him also healing a little girl as well. And what happened was that Jesus had just got off the boat and he had just got onto the shore, and there was a large crowd. And this seems to happen a lot. Every time Jesus gets off a boat, there just seems to be a large crowd waiting for him, because people are desperate and they need hope. And they've heard about the miraculous works that Jesus does, and they've started to follow him. People are starting to realize that this guy has anointing on his life, that everywhere he goes, that miracles happen, that he heals everybody that he meets. And so they're waiting for him, a large crowd gather, and a man named Jairus comes up to Jesus, and he begs him, he gets down on his hands and knees and he begs him. He says, "Jesus, my little daughter is sick. She really needs you to come and lay hands on her. And I know that if you see her, that she'll be healed." And so Jesus says yes to his request and starts to follow him. And the crowd, it says, are pressing on against him. And he keeps on walking through the crowd. But then this woman reaches out and she takes what she needs from Jesus. And she says, it says in the word, if she only just can touch the hem of his garment, she believes that she will be healed. And that's exactly what it says here that happens. And you know, I want us just to look at how Jesus handled everyone and everything in this passage. The first thing to just point out, and this is the reason that this passage came to my mind whenever I started to think of us being like jars of clay that hold treasure inside. We have an amount of power inside. We have an unlimited power, really. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so I thought to myself, as Jesus is walking and this woman reaches out to him and she withdraws power from him, he tangibly feels that power withdrawn from him. He knows and feels that the power has gone out from him. And I thought, wow, imagine how in tune he was to the Holy Spirit and to the level of Holy Spirit in him, that he would know when the power was drained from him. You see, reading this as a little girl, I thought, well, that's okay for Jesus because he's the Son of God. You know, he's fully God, and yes, he is. But also now, as being a bit of an older girl, then I realize as well that he was fully man and that he gives us the example for what is possible. Very quickly, just a couple of days ago, I was listening to a message from a few years back from Reinhard Bonnke. And he described it like this. He said in James, it says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above, who in whom there is no turning of shadow, in whom there is no shadow. And so he described it as that if you think about a sundial, you see, whenever the sun rises, then there's a shadow. In those times, there would have been a stick in the ground, he said. And when the sun would rise, then there would be a shadow that was created, and that would tell them what time of the day it was. But when it got to 12 o'clock, what would happen? The sun would be at its peak position in the sky, right above that stick, and there would be no shadow of turning. There would be no shadow on the ground that it would make. And then again, it would set on the other side, and the shadow would start again. But the difference is with God, he is in peak position all the time, right above us. And he never leaves his position. There's never a time where he's waking up in the morning and then he decides to have a rest again at night. He is always in authority. He is always in control. And I believe that gives us a good picture for how Jesus walked in the presence of the Lord. He walked with the Holy Spirit. He walked in the Spirit day and daily because he walked with God the Father above him in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in communion with the Holy Spirit, spending each day, every minute of every day with the Holy Spirit. And so he could feel and know the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life in a far greater way than maybe we can experience. But yet, I want to just remind you today that it is possible. It's possible to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit to know when somebody takes something from you, when somebody takes that part from you, when somebody reaches out, when you're maybe in an area or a position or you're in just a time where you can discern and say, wow, I know that I need to pray right now. I know that I need the presence of the Lord with me right now. I know that I need to be aware of that right now. I know there's been times in my life where there's just been things that I've gone through and I've said, this doesn't feel right. I want to message out to some close friends and say, just pray for me. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. And so that's the discernment that the Lord gives us. But he wants us to be able to walk in that every single day. Anyway, in this, when we look at Jesus, he gets off the boat, there's the large crowd, there's people needing him. Jairus wants him to go and heal his daughter who's sick and dying. Jesus says that he'll go, and on his way, this woman reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, knowing that if she can just get that touch, so Jesus, he gets off the boat. He meets that large crowd. There's lots of people that need him and are following him. And he hears of this sick girl that is dying and he says, okay, I'll make my way towards that girl. And he follows Jairus, her dad, towards the house. But on the way and through the crowd, and I'm just thinking of how frustrating that would be, how warm it would be in that area with this crowd all around you. And, you know, I can imagine that myself, I would just be wanting to find somewhere to sit and relax and get into the shade and have something to eat or have something to drink. And I would especially just want to be getting to this girl who's sick and dying as quick as I could. And yet Jesus, on the way, he is interrupted. His plans are interrupted. And this woman reaches out and withdraws power from him. Somebody delays him on his journey. But Jesus doesn't answer her being angry or being frustrated. He doesn't turn and say, who just stopped me because you've just stopped me from doing something really amazing and wonderful. No, he turns around. He wants to know who touched him. For a different reason, because he wants to hear this woman's testimony. And he feels the power going out from him. And he's sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to be able to know and feel that. And what does he do? He turns around to this woman with love and with grace. And he affirms her. He takes time for her. He speaks life over her. And he calls her out on the amazing faith that she had. And then he tells her to go on her way and to go in peace. You see, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit and being in communion that's like this with the Lord, then he was rooted in love. And this is why the word tells us to let our roots go deep down in God, knowing that we are fully loved, that he speaks words of love and affirmation over our lives, and let our roots go deep down in him so that it's not surface level and we can fly off the handle at different things. And I know that that happens, but so that we can be sustained in his love every single day, knowing that he is our provider, that he is our source, that he will give us everything that we need, that he is able to redeem all things. You see, Jesus, he was able to walk in the Spirit, sustained by love. Do you notice here that he has no ego? Like, he has no false identity. Ego is always a false identity. He has no bravado going on. He's not saying, but I'm about to heal somebody who's sick, and somebody just reached out and took something from me that they shouldn't have. He had no sense of what was his right and what was their rights, and, you know, needing justice and all of these things. And he had nothing to prove to either Jairus the little girl's dad, or the crowd that were around him, or the disciples that were learning by him, or learning from him minute by minute. He was okay with his plans being put on hold by somebody else. And I want to ask you today, are you okay with your plans being put on hold? Are you okay whenever God maybe says, you know what, that thing that you've been saving up for, I actually want you to give it to this instead? Or whenever something happens that just was not part of your plan. I know that there's been times in my life where things have happened that were not part of my plan. And at the time, I went into self-destruct mode instead of going to God, or instead of just having peace and knowing that it would all be okay. But the Lord gets us there, and he wants to give you today a peace that passes all understanding. He wants you to know that it's okay not to understand, that he holds you in the palm of his hand, and that he wants to give you peace to bring you through that time. Are you okay when things don't go your way? You see, with the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us in the same way as Jesus had in this story, then we are able to face anything that life throws at us. Through his power, through his strength. The Bible says that when we're weak, then he is strong. And remember, we're jars of clay so that the glory of God can shine through us, especially in those moments. Yes, we can say that Jesus knew no sin, and so it was easy for him. But he was fully man, and he was tempted in every way. And he showed us that it is possible to be able to have your plans wrecked and keep on going. And later on in these verses we read, not only does he feel that power leaving from him, but actually he's filled up with power again anyway along the way at some point, or maybe it's an instantaneous thing. But he then gets to the house of the little girl who has died at this point, and he raises her back to life in all power and in all authority. You see, the enemy cannot steal, kill, or destroy anything in us that the Holy Spirit isn't able to redeem and restore back in plenty in our lives. And he wants to do that in your life today. Let's have a look at the woman just for a minute. You see, the woman here in this story who reached out to Jesus, it says that she was at the end of herself. She had heard about Jesus. She had childlike faith. But at this point, it says that just in verse 25 there, that she had endured for 12 years so much under many doctors. It says that she had spent everything she had and that she was not helped at all. And it says actually on the contrary, she became worse from spending her money and seeing all these doctors. I don't know, maybe there wasn't a good doctor where she lived. But having heard about Jesus, it said she believed, and she came up and she said to herself, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, then I will be healed. And so she reached out and she grabbed what she needed. She faced her fears and she came out in front of the crowd. And she came into the public eye. You know, at the time, this woman would have been rejected by the crowds around her. She would have been rejected by society. She would have had to go out at times that were very quiet times where there weren't very many people around. And she would have been facing so much rejection and so much hurt and had this label over her as unclean. And it was absolutely terrible for her. But here she gets to a desperate place where she just says, I need Jesus. I need him. And so she reaches out and she reaches out to him and she takes what she needs. And it says that instantly she feels that she has been healed. She feels, it says that the flow of blood stops and that she knows that her infirmity has been healed. And Jesus knows it too, and he feels the power leaving, and he stops and he turns and he says, who touched me? And the disciples say, the crowd is all around you. There are many people touching you. But then the word tells us that in fear and trembling, it says that the woman came and that she said that it was her. And she told Jesus her whole truth, it says. She told him the whole truth of her life, told him what she had gone through. You know, I want to just tell you today, and let's rejoice in this today, that Jesus is not put off by the whole truth of our lives, no matter how ugly it gets. He is not put off by the whole truth. In fact, he wants to hear your whole truth today. Maybe you haven't yet put your whole trust in him, and today you want to do that. But something that has been putting you off coming to him wholly is saying, I need to be perfect. Like, I need to have it a bit more together than what I have today. I want to tell you that Jesus knows every single thing about you. Maybe so far you've been coming to church, you've been maybe watching online, maybe you have been part of a community, a church community, but yet you haven't fully surrendered your life over to him. I want to remind you that Jesus is not put off by the ugly truths of our lives. In fact, he wants to take them and he wants to heal them and he wants to restore them. Maybe in your life, then, you have had that restoration and you have let God do his thing in your life and redeem you and restore you and heal you and bring you back to full health and strength. Maybe the things that God has done in your life are things that only he could do in your life, but you haven't had the bravery or the confidence to be able to say these things in public yet. I want to encourage you that your testimony is powerful. That's a great way for the Holy Spirit, that is the treasure inside of us, to be able to get out into the lives of other people around us, is for us to be able to give our testimony and say, this is who Jesus is to me. This is what he has done in my life. Whether that's sharing that with a neighbor, whether it's sharing it with a person at the checkout in the supermarket, whether it's sharing it with another mom or dad at the school gate, wherever it is, maybe it's taking a video of yourself and posting it up online and saying, people can judge me if they want, but I need to tell them who Jesus is to me. I want to encourage you to let the Lord speak through you into the lives of other people. There is power in your testimony. There is power in the great things that Jesus has done in your life. And it just takes us being brave and setting out and saying these things in public. You know, Jesus, he could have walked on at that point, and instead he turns around to the woman and he wants to know, who is it that touched me? And he wants to hear her story, and he gives her an opportunity to share her story. What does that do? That takes this woman from living out under the shadows of sickness, the shadows of labels, the shadow of rejection. It takes her out from that space and it takes her into a place where now the crowd can hear her story, can hear Jesus affirm her and say, your faith has made you well, now go in peace. And Jesus speaks words of life over her in front of a large crowd, to the point where then she would have been free to be able to be out there amongst the crowd and the crowd knowing this is a woman that has been healed. Doesn't she look like another jar of clay that has the glory of God inside of her? You see, this is what the Holy Spirit does through our lives. He affects the lives of the people around us and replicates and does the same thing again and again and again. And people were able to look at this woman and say, wow, look at what the Lord has done in her. Look at what Jesus did in her life. Just a moment with Jesus and she was changed forever. And even today, we're still reading about that story together. You know, today you might have locked your treasure up under lock and key. And you might say, you know what, my treasure is not hidden in a jar of clay, or I'm hiding this jar of clay away, way far away so that nobody can touch it, so that it doesn't get broken because I've been broken in the past. I want to remind you today that the Lord is able to restore and heal every crack, every break in your life, and you can trust him today. You see, you might say today, I am just too fragile and I don't want to be broken again. But the verse after this verse about treasures being locked up in jars of clay, or stored in jars of clay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. I want to remind you, you might be afflicted in every way, but you are not crushed. It says, perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You see, you might have been perplexed and been in wondering and really just questioning some things, but you haven't hit despair. You know, maybe you have been persecuted, but I will guarantee you this, you have not been forsaken. You have not been abandoned. Why? Because the Lord says that He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Do you feel His presence at all times? Maybe not, but it doesn't change the fact that He is there with you, holding you, sustaining you. He has the final say over your life. You might have been struck down, but I want to remind you today that you are not destroyed. You see, when your life is in the hands of your Maker, you will not be destroyed or crushed, because no deadly thing can harm you or take your life from you. Jesus is in control. The Holy Spirit is in control. God the Father holds everything all together. He loves you. He holds you. He is sustaining you even at this moment. I want to tell you that you can trust your Heavenly Father today. He is a good, good Father. You can trust Him with your life. You see, Jesus died, rose again, and ascended back to heaven for the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming and making His home and dwelling inside of us, so that not only He will reside in us, but so that He will be released to the world around you. But I want to ask you and give you the question today and the challenge. Do you treasure the treasure that is inside of you? Do you treasure the treasure within you? Do you know what it's there for? He told us this, Jesus did, before He went back to heaven. He said to His disciples who were there, He said that their purpose was now to preach the gospel, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. That was the power and the authority that would be given to them. And He gave authority to them. The power came whenever they met with the Holy Spirit in the upper room just a few days later. And that power caused them to preach the gospel, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. You see, so many times people ask, what's my purpose? Why do I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me? What's my purpose now as a Christian? Like, things are a little bit mixed up. I want to just remind you today that your purpose is to preach the gospel, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. You say, should I be a doctor or should I be a teacher? Well, that's easy. Pick whatever one that you like the best and then preach the gospel, cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. Maybe today you're asking, should I be a farmer or should I be a car salesperson or should I be a housewife? But here's the thing, just pick one and then do what God's saying and preach the gospel, cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. Maybe today you're wondering, should I marry that girl? You know what? Go with it. If you love her, marry her. It doesn't really matter. But what does matter is that you serve your purpose in the kingdom. And that is that no matter what you do, no matter what choice you pick, no matter what direction that you choose to go, that you do what He's saying that your purpose is. And that is to preach the gospel, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. It doesn't matter what we do for Him. It doesn't matter what we do in this life, as long as we're fulfilling His purpose in our lives. Wherever the treasure is, where your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be also. So treasure the treasure that's within, and don't be afraid to pour it out. It's immeasurable. You can't outdo the Holy Spirit. You can't outgive the Holy Spirit. You can't give too much of Him away, because He's always just filling you up again to overflowing. Once you use a little bit of His power, He tops you right back up again. You can have grace through the power of the Holy Spirit for the people that get in your way. You can have love for the people who mock you and put you down. You can have power to be able to heal the sick and see the impossible happen. I just want to pray for you before we stop today, before I get to an end. And, you know, I just pray that each and every person that is watching today will know and encounter the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. Treasure the treasure that has been placed inside of you, but not in a way that you keep it under lock and key. Treasure it so much that you use the Holy Spirit for the purpose that He has in your life, and that is to affect the world around you. Just like Jesus said, go in peace, and your faith has made you well. I want to just pray that you know the Lord's presence in even a greater way this week, that as you open His word, that He will just light up those verses to you in a fresh way. I pray that he will give you the courage, that he'll give you the bravery to step out for him, that you will reach the world around you, treasuring the treasure that is within. And we'll see you soon. Bye.
We were waiting without hope and without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill.
From their tombs, and the angels stood in